Welcome back to Word on the Hills with me, Gwen Sheltimer, my co-host Felicity Sidnell-Reed, and our guest this week, Vicky Delaney, the One Woman Crime Wave. Last year, Vicky, you and your fellow writer of mysteries, Janet Kelo, organized a very successful weekend called Women Killing It.
That's right, we did.
Now, the weekend celebrated Canadian women crime writers, and now you're going to work on a second festival. So tell us about your plans for this event, when and where and how and who.
Okay, I'm happy to, and thank you very much for asking. It was so successful last year, we're doing it again this year. Women Killing It is Labor Day weekend this year. Like last year, the first event will start on Friday evening with several events on Saturday. Then we've added something extra this year, and we have a second workshop that will be on the Sunday morning. Yeah. So I'll mention the workshops in a minute, but I'll tell you my list of authors that are attending if you'd like to hear.
Yes, absolutely.
Thank you. We're really excited about having Gail Bowen, who probably needs no introduction, one of Canada's best known crime writers for sure. Linda Wicken, Catherine Astolfo, Carol Soles, Y.S. Lee, who writes Young Adult, Kim Mortis Gu, Janet Kelo, who we know, R.M. Greenaway, coming all the way from British Columbia, and our local author spotlight will be Laurie Scott.
Oh.
We're doing a couple of slightly different things this year in terms of authors, that as well, as I said, that Ying Lee writes Young Adult, Catherine Astolfo is mostly writing short stories this year, so we thought that she would bring something that would appeal to people that are interested in writing short stories. Mm-hmm. And the others write either novels or a mixture of novels and short stories.
Right. Wow, that is quite, and because last year they were pretty much all mystery novel writers,
yes,
right? And all adult.
That's right.
Right, so you kind of branched out in genre.
We branched out in genre a little bit,
short stories now, yeah.
And young adult. Certainly the sort of young adults that books that she has written can be read by an adult reader. Mm-hmm. I enjoy them very much as well. But we've also brought a couple of authors from across Canada this year. Last year we were pretty much limited ourselves to people from Southern Ontario. So Gail Bowen is coming from Saskatchewan, Rachel Greenaway that I mentioned from BC, and then others from Ontario. We're excited about that. We'll have the same format we had last year, which is the Friday evening get to know the author sort of thing. We call it table hopping. Each ticket holder sits at a table and has 5 minutes. The authors come to visit each table for 5 minutes. So the author will chat to you at your table for 5 minutes about their books, enjoying themselves in Prince Edward County, whatever they want to talk about for 5 minutes, then a bell rings and they go on to the next table for 5 minutes, which we think is really up close and personal and intimate. And in the 5 minutes, talking to maybe 6 to 8 people at a table, there's a chance to ask questions.
Mm. That was going to be my question. Can you actually ask a question?
As well. Plus, of course, they'll be mixing and mingling during the breaks, because there's a couple of breaks for refreshments, but then also, some kind of a quiz game or something like that to keep the evening moving. So that's for Friday night. On Saturday morning is the first workshop at the library in Picton. And mm-hmm. I, Vicky Delaney, am giving the first workshop, and it's titled Page One, Chapter One, How to Start Your Novel with Impact. Over the years, I've given creative writing courses, and I've done a manuscript evaluations and that. And I've seen a lot of examples of writers that have a really good idea, they don't know where to start. Mm-hmm. Usually, they start way too early, like pretty much tell you the life of the protagonist before the book should start. So that's going to be my focus at that workshop, Page One, Chapter One: How to Start Your Novel with Impact.
Cool.
And we're hoping to attract people that have gotten a maybe they don't necessarily have to have anything written down yet, but or have a manuscript that they're unsure if it's working right for them, and maybe they need a little, incentive to get working on the beginning again. Because Page One, Chapter One, the first couple of chapters are what gets your book a publisher.
Exactly.
And once it's published, it gets your book readers. Nobody's going to wait these days till chapter four to find out if the book's going to be interesting. If it's not interesting within the first few pages, then they're not going to read any further.
Yeah, because you pick it up off the shelf and read a couple of pages and see if it suits.
So that's Saturday morning. Saturday early afternoon, we're probably 1 or 2, I'm not entirely sure of the time, we're having afternoon tea at the St. Andrew's Church in Picton at their reception space there. That'll feature the lighter authors and the short story authors and the YA authors, but all the authors will be there. So they'll be there again for, to chat while you're having your mm-hmm. lunch, chat before and after, mix and mingle.
Well, the thing I really love, because I went to the festival last year, and the thing I really loved about that particular event was that each of the authors that got up, we did hear about their books, but they had also each been given an aspect of mystery writing to talk about.
Great.
I found that really fun because it was informative, but it wasn't a whole workshop or a whole long time listening. You learned a little bit of interesting stuff from somebody who did it, and then you learned about their books and how that related to whatever they were talking about, and it was great.
Yeah, and last year the tea was way too crowded. It was in the historical house in Picton, and it was just too crowded, so this year we have moved to a larger space.
Yeah.
And then Saturday night, it's a panel-type evening with the what we call the grittier authors, the ones that are writing slightly more darker, more serious books. It'll be a panel discussion. Again, there'll be refreshments. There'll probably be some kind of quiz game with prizes and a chance to mix and mingle and buy books. Books and Company from Picton will be at every event, you know, selling their books. The two evening events are at the Town Hall this year.
It's getting bigger and bigger all around.
And then on Sunday morning, Gail Bowen will be giving a workshop, and it is on how to write the novel that you're thinking of. So she's going to focus on how to sit down and make sure your book turns out to be the way that you had originally planned it. Basically keeping yourself on track, I think, is what she's talking about. The events are all $30 each. There's no festival passes. Last year we had a festival pass, which became very difficult to administer because some people wanted it, some people didn't, some, you know, blah, blah, blah. So anyway, tickets are $30 for each event. Tickets are now on sale at Eventbrite. If you go to Eventbrite and search for Women Killing It, if anybody's unsure, they can certainly drop me a line at vicky@vickydelaney.com or womenkillingit@gmail.com.
And as I found last year, if you just Google Women Killing It, it will take you there too. And then just one more thing I'd like to ask you. Are there places for people to stay if they want to come from further afield?
There are plenty of places in Prince Edward County, but I'll remind you once again that it's Labor Day weekend, and things in the county really do fill up fast. And I don't, unfortunately, I should have brought the URL with me. That there's certainly a Prince Edward County webpage that has listings of accommodations, so I just direct people to, again, a Google search on accommodations in Prince Edward County. They should be able to find something, but don't delay.
No. Okay. Well, thanks for telling us about the conference, but perhaps you could read to us again, just from one of the books. How about The Spook?
The Spook and the Stacks. I'm happy to read from The Spook and the Stacks. I thought I'd just start at the beginning, because light mysteries or cozy mysteries are all about mood. And as I said, one of the things I'm going to talk about in my workshop is that it's absolutely essential that the mood of the book be set at page one. If it's a serial killer book, don't start with a charming little opening of a family having a picnic. Alternatively, if it's a light, cozy, don't start with, you know, a slasher making his way through town. The mood of the opening of a book has to suit the entirety of the book. So I thought I'd just read from chapter one.
Okay.
My colleagues burst through the library doors, weighed down by gravestones, skeletons, and a giant black spider. I've never been a big lover of Halloween, mainly because, frankly, I don't consider being scared at all fun. Clearly, in that, I am in the minority. Ronald dropped a gravestone on the floor. It bounced as it hit the white and black marble tiles. R.I.P. was scrawled across the front. "That's grisly," I said. "Where's your sense of fun?" Ronald said. "I don't have one," I replied. "Why does that not come as a surprise to me?" said Louise Jane McNaughton. "If there's a Halloween version of The Grinch, I'm it." Against the wishes of Bertie James, our library director, Louise Jane had managed to convince the board of the Body Island Lighthouse Library that a special Halloween exhibit was a good idea. My role today was to ensure that if we had to decorate the lighthouse, it would fall somewhere in the bounds of good taste, if such a thing can be applied to Halloween. Bertie put her foot firmly down at fake blood and gore, missing body parts, scary music, and zombie costume volunteers leaping out from under the spiral iron staircase yelling boo, all of which Louise Jane had suggested. Even normally sensible Ronald Burkowski, the children's librarian, and Charlene Clayton, our research librarian, had leapt eagerly into the spirit of the thing. The grave markers and spider's webs were for the second floor children's room, and Charlene had said she'd print out some legends of ghostly happenings in the waters off the Outer Banks in the days of sail. Louise Jane, not a library employee but an excessively overeager volunteer, had wanted the exhibit to be all about the supposed haunted happenings at the Body Island Lighthouse, in which our library was situated. The last thing Bertie wanted was word to get around that the building might be haunted. She warned Louise Jane to keep her ghostly tales generic. Louise Jane had reluctantly agreed, recognizing that she had no choice. Now she smiled at me and shifted the large cardboard box in her arms. I didn't trust Louise Jane, and never less than when she smiled. Tall, scrawny, and flat-chested, with a thin face, piercing eyes, and sharp chin, she always put me in mind of a circling shark. Or, today, a grinning skeleton. "And this," she said, "is the pièce de résistance." She put the box on the table in the center of the room. With an air of great expectation and some ceremony, she unfolded the flaps and opened the box. She reached in with both hands, paused to ensure we were all watching, and slowly pulled out a model sailing ship. She glanced at us, her smirk indicating that she was anticipating praise as well as astonishment. For once, she got it. "Wow," Ronald said, "look at that detail." "Beautiful," Bertie said. "Where on earth," I asked, "did you find it?"
"A little something my grandmother's had in the back of her closet for ages," Louise Jane said, "among her special things."
Ronald moved the empty box, and taking great care, Louise Jane gently placed the ship on the table. It was, I had to admit, an extraordinarily beautiful piece. About 3 feet long, the hull was constructed of individual wooden planks, above which were fitted the decks, the quarter deck, and bridge. And above that, every post and spar and section of sail was in place. The figurehead, a buxom, long-haired woman, was so lifelike she might be about to burst out of the bow of the ship. Tiny sailors scurried about the deck or climbed the rigging. A man stood at the wheel while the captain watched. A black cat sat at the captain's feet. Charles, one of the library's most valued employees, hissed and moved through as though to swat the tiny cat. Louise Jane shrieked, "Keep him away!" I scooped Charles up. I tapped his nose. "That is not a toy. Do you understand?" He blinked. I decided to take that as agreement, and I put him down. Charles, named in honor of Mr. Charles Dickens, was a beautiful, and didn't he know it, Himalayan. He strolled away with a flick of his fluffy tail. I turned my attention back to the model. "It's unusual." The ship was a perfect miniature, no attention to detail missing. It appeared to have been in a fierce battle, gaping holes as if blasted away by miniature cannonballs dotted the hull, and the sails hung in tattered, ripped sheets. I peered closer. The miniature sailors, dressed in loose white pants and striped shirts, were skeletons. I shuddered, and Louise Jane preened. "Rebecca McPherson." "Who's she?" I asked. "A ship." Louise Jane settled into lecture mode. "She was sailing these waters, not far from this very spot, as it happens, back in 1752, when..." "Opening time," I said. "I'll get the door." Which is how, on Thursday, October the 25th, the Body Island Lighthouse Library came to be open 10 minutes before the regular time of 9 o'clock.
Great. Thank you. Thanks, Vicky. Well, thanks for reading from your new books and also for giving us all the details about women killing it on Labor Day weekend.
Thank you. Thank you for asking me in to talk about it.
So we usually ask our authors where people can buy your books, but I think your books are available at all the usual suspects.
All the usual sources, online, and certainly they have them in Books and Company in Picton and at Let's Talk Books in Coburg. So.
Great. And I think we also need to remind listeners about Women Killing It, where they can get tickets and the dates and times.
Right. Women Killing It is Labor Day weekend, which starts Friday night. That's August the 31st. And then it runs on Saturday and Sunday morning. You don't have to go to all the events. If you're only free, for example, Friday night, or if you're only free Saturday night, we'd still like to participate. The tickets sell individually, not as a bundle. Women Killing It, tickets are available at Eventbrite. They're also available in person at Books and Company in Picton. We do have a Facebook page, Women Killing It, where the links are to all of these things. But if you just Google Women Killing It, it should come up.
Wonderful. And listeners, if you'd like to connect with us, please send your comments, queries, or suggestions to our website, wordonthehills.com. At the website, you'll find all our programs archived that you can listen to anytime and anywhere. Do send us a message. We love to hear from you. And thanks for tuning in today. We'll hope you'll join us for another program next week, right here on Northumberland 89.7, Truly Local Radio.